Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' blowout win in Cincinnati, 41-17. But first, want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Steve, the 49ers with a huge road victory over the Cincinnati Bengals, a 2-0 start for San Francisco. It's gone really well for them, beating Tampa Bay, and now the Bengals, 41-17. I don't know that I expected that after the Bengals played pretty well in their opener against the Seahawks, but it just looked like the 49ers had their way the entire game on both sides of the ball. What did you think of the overall performance?
I would completely agree with you. In a few things. One, I didn't see that from Cincinnati. Like you said, after playing well against Seattle the week before, I think the 49ers played extremely well. I think Cincinnati wasn't very good.
They were not. I mean, there were wide open receivers and wide open holes for running backs. Granted, I mean, you know, Breida was good and Mostert. I love the way they played. But it just seemed like they were
really
in the open field. Yeah, they were in the open field. And the receivers, too. It just seemed like, you know, for Jimmy G, he could take his time. And look at those receivers. They were just wide open.
They really were. And offensive line did, obviously, a great job. Pass protection and run blocking. I mean, there were a couple of play actions where Jimmy G was pushing 4 seconds, I would say. You know, maybe even five. There's one deep cross that I can think of where he looked at a few people, and then I think it was James came open. He was going from right to left, but uh-huh. And it was later in the game. I think it was third quarter. Run blocking, pass protection, I thought were really good.
Yeah, you know, you've talked about this a lot on this podcast, really, for the last few years, about the importance of a good play action and how, you know, if you have a good running game going, how that works. And man, I mean, this was kind of like exhibit A, in my opinion. I'm watching these play actions and the Bengals are biting on it, and that has to help a lot. Have you seen it be that easy where that works so well?
I mean, it's fun when it's like that. I mean, when the play action is working and you get guys to bite that are linebackers or defensive backs, and you get defensive linemen to slow down, like to almost stand up, you know, where they're like, oh shoot, you know, that's a run, and we were pass rushing, so you kind of put on the brakes for a split second. It definitely helped. And I give you an example. I was doing a chalk talk the other night, and they asked me to pick some games from when I was playing here. Uh-huh. And I picked the three playoff games from the 89. So the division game was against the Vikings, and the NFC championship game was against the Rams, and the Super Bowl against the Broncos. But I pointed out a few times that we ran some play action passes that we didn't even run the runs to. Not in any of the three games.
It's phony, right? Yeah.
They were awesome.
So it wasn't realistic is what you're saying. Like, it wouldn't really be that running play.
No, I mean, my point is that it is realistic that even though you haven't run the run,
They know it could be
that, that like I said, that you get a linebacker to bite and, you know, create a space between a linebacker and a defensive back, or you get the rush to slow down because all of a sudden they go, you know, oh, you know what? It's a run, you know, and they put on the brakes for a split second. And that's all you need.
And even though you haven't run that, which, you know, that kind of brings to my point, I was going to make a baseball analogy that as a pitcher, you try to set up a hitter, and you played some baseball, so you might show him something early in a count or early in the game, and then later you kind of play off of that. Well, with play action, you would think maybe you would show them this running play, and now we're going to play action, so we're not doing it, but you're saying that sometimes it even works if you don't actually run the running play.
Exactly. Just it fools. It creates separation between, like I said, linebackers and defensive backs, and it can slow down pass rush.
And it seemed to really work well in that game in Cincinnati. And by the way, I mean, just Kyle Shanahan does deserve a lot of credit just for the way he's designed this offense, the way it's clicking right now. And I loved what they did on television. Fox, in between, they had some Bill Walsh clips, and they were showing him on the chalkboard. I love that.
And
of course, you know, you were in that room. You know what that was like. I mean, did you think that way where, man, this guy really, you know, he's a genius, that, you know, as people say that. And, you know, when I think about Shanahan, I think this guy is so smart about the way he has it set up.
Well, yeah. And putting together that progression of plays, you know, that are building on one another is what was always so good, so satisfying, I guess, to me or to a quarterback in general. You know, it's I'm not going to say it's unusual, but, you know, Kyle, not having played quarterback, but he's been around the game and been around his dad, obviously, and learning how to call plays. So you know, the good ones, they get in that mindset of, you know, okay, you know, they're playing this particular coverage on first and 10. So I've already done this. So now I want to do, you know, I want to go to the next step, and, you know, getting in that rhythm, you know, getting in that zone. And I think, Spielman kept saying in the zone, during the telecast, that Kyle Shanahan was in the zone, and he obviously is a Kyle Shanahan fan because he said it once, he said it 10 times, that, you know, he was the best play caller in the game. But the good ones, they do. They get on that roll, they get in that zone, and you just start to put together the pieces. And it snowballs in the positive direction. I think my favorite one was that they got kind of short yardage and goal line, you know, formations, but it was with Goodwin, you know, at the flanker spot in tight, and he snuck behind all those, kind of snuck his way through all those offensive and defensive linemen.
Yeah, they didn't see him.
Came out the other side, wide open.
Wide open.
I thought that was good. That was the old, I forget what we called it, fake 64, I don't know, flanker drag or something. You know, Jerry Rice would hide in, he would hide and get in that tight position and get down a 3-point stance and kind of hide in there. And then, you know, we'd run a great play action fake, and he would wiggle his way through all the traffic and come out the other side wide open.
So he's lined up like sort of like a tight end, right? And they think he's
right,
just going to block.
Right.
And then he's
right,
just, all of a sudden, he's out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So now there were some good plays.
We'll have more with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono right after this. As the San Francisco 49ers podcast with Joe Castellano and Steve Bono continues, there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for Tee Time Deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
I am really curious to hear, Steve, how you evaluate Jimmy G at this point, because, I mean, he had a really good game, but at the same time, I mean, that defense, like we said, I mean, guys were wide open. I mean, it's just good to see, though, that he's gaining confidence, because, you know, in the preseason, he didn't play much, and then when he did, he had that one game that was, you know, it was pretty much a disaster, and people wondered about him, and now he looks like he's kind of getting back to where he was before when he was healthy.
Yeah, he definitely got better. He got better from week one. He got better from the preseason. Stepped up a little bit more. Had a really nice scramble, I thought.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, he's not afraid to run.
Again, now that's it was, but that's what I, you know, I want to see it on, you know, on every throw. Getting up in that pocket and being a threat to run the ball. And you know, it was ironic. Spielman was on the telecast. He was talking about, well, the Bengals are playing, you know, they're playing, he said they're playing man sometimes and they're playing zone, blah, blah, blah. But he's like, and he showed a 2-deep 5-under man on the telecast, if I remember correctly, what it looked like. Well, the very next play, they ran that coverage, and that's when Jimmy ran, because that's the one coverage, 2-deep zone with the underneath five guys playing. Oh, I know what he was talking about. Let me back up on that, Joe. He was talking about how teams today, they play zone, but not like they played zone in our era.
Uh-huh.
Or, the difference being that today they drop to a zone area, but as soon as somebody comes through their zone, they pick them up.
So it kind of changes to a man-to-man in a way, right?
Yeah. Exactly. He was making that point. And the very next play is the one where Jimmy G scrambles. And when they showed the replay, I was like, aha, they played 2-deep, 5-under man. And that's what's going to beat that coverage every time as a quarterback scramble, because nobody's watching the quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, other than the four, you know, the four rushers.
Yeah, but he's not really
known.
If there's
a running lane, you're gone.
And he's not really known as a running quarterback, but you got to make those plays when it's just wide open like that. You got to be able to do it.
Those are the throwing lanes. Those are also the running lanes for the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, coming off the knee injury, I guess that's kind of a test in a way. And he went head first too. Like, he wasn't going into that slide. I know you love that, because you don't lose the yardage too.
Nope, get down there and bite some ankles.
Yeah, I mean, he's a gutsy guy. I mean, he's definitely going to be a good leader, isn't he? The way he plays,
I think so. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that the guys talked about, you know, right away when he came here. You know, with six games to go in the season, and they said that his personality was stood out right away in the locker room. You know, he didn't have to try to be somebody else. He was himself, and everybody rallied around him.
You know, I like it. You know, it seems like he's really taking well to Shanahan, and you know, because you know, I think Kyle's been tough on him at times. He expects a lot out of him. But Garoppolo had that comment, the quote where he said that Shanahan's mind is incredible, and he's two plays ahead while they're running the current play. Which I guess that's what you're hoping for from an offensive coordinator, right?
Yep, getting on that role. Yeah, yep, absolutely. You want him to be at least one play ahead. You're trying to set things up, and they definitely got on a roll on Sunday.
You wonder about the receiving position. I mean, I think we're going to be probably talking about this all year, because there's nobody there yet that's stepping up that is the best guy. But it's pretty exciting to see right now what Samuel's doing, because I mean, he had some really explosive moments there. He ended up with 87 yards receiving. I don't know that he steps up as a rookie to be the number one receiver, but it looks like he's becoming more and more dependable.
He is. And going back to your point about the receivers, I'm going to ask a question, because I didn't go back during the telecast, and I should have. Spielman commented that somebody was in Shanahan's doghouse, that they came in out of shape.
Oh, yeah. He was talking about Pettis. Yeah.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was. It was funny, okay. too. Actually, I remember exactly okay. what you're talking about. He mentioned that about Pettis being in the doghouse, and the next play, the very next play, they next threw play. To Pettis, and then he threw a pass to Mostert. It was 16 yards. So it's like, wait a minute, he's in the doghouse, but they're letting him throw the ball.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was pretty awesome how they did that. I mean, that was a really cool play. So Jimmy G throws the lateral to and as soon as I saw that it was a lateral, I was like, okay, here's a guy that controls the ball.
Pettis, yeah.
in Pettis. And he could have thrown the ball down the field to, I forget who it was when they showed the replay, but I thought it was really cool that they threw it back then to the other side to create the screen.
Right, to Mostert. Yeah.
I thought that was a very, very well conceived play. But so he was referring to Pettis, going back to your original question. So I think that, to your point, that we're going to be talking about this all year, that complicates it a little bit, because Pettis, in my mind, could have very easily been that guy.
Yeah, he has the talent.
Could be that guy.
Yeah.
But if he's not on the field every down, that gets hard. But I think that Goodwin has played well. I think that James Jr. has played well. Samuels obviously has played well. They have their handful of plays for kind of every guy. Even my guy Kendrick has, you know, got a couple catches. You know, they all have different talents. I think they've got a lot of exciting receivers, and it seems to me like Kyle's using them. You know, I got a handful of plays for each guy. We're gonna mix them in and rotate them and try and keep defenses off balance.
Yeah, you know, Kittle's going to be there when you need him. I mean, he doesn't have to have a huge game every game, but he's just so dependable.
He was really good. I mean, commented a lot about his blocking.
Oh yeah,
really good.
Yeah. You know, and you mentioned the pass by Pettis. It was to Mostert, and Mostert is kind of having a coming out party a little bit here. I mean, he is showing that he's got multiple skills to be able to catch the ball and run like that. You know,
I agree.
I don't think he's as fast or as quick as Breida, but he's got other skills. I mean, he definitely can run people over too. He's bigger.
Yeah, no, he looked good. I'm happy for him. He was coming out last year when he got hurt. I mean, he. Was having a good day.
Oh, he was, yeah.
So I'm super happy for him. You know, a kind of a journeyman guy finding his spot, and you know, being able to run the ball like that. And I didn't realize that he had gone to Purdue when they said that in the telecast on Sunday. I was like, you know what? I see now why he can. He can catch the ball as well as run, you know, run with it handed to him. You know, Purdue's always been kind of more of a more open offense. So, I shoot on, and then heck, and then Wilson comes in and runs for 40 yards. I mean, had a couple nice runs, got a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they just took him off the practice squad.
Yeah.
So they have depth I mean, you think about, they went out and signed Tevin Coleman, and then they last year signed McKinnon. Neither one of those guys have been able to contribute. I mean, you know, Coleman just got hurt last week, but they've got all these players that they can run out there.
Especially
Breida. I mean, Breida's my favorite player on the team. I got to tell you, Steve. I love his quickness.
He runs hard. He just hits it up in those holes. Whew.
And he's shifty.
He's not a big guy.
Yeah, he's not a big guy, but he is shifty. You know, shifty. almost kind of Barry Sanders like. You know, I'm not going to say he's going to be him, but you know what I mean. Just making people miss.
But that, I think that it's the depth. I've said this. I don't know if I've said it to you on this podcast, but a lot of people when they ask me about him, I said they're going to be better for the Niners are going to be better for one reason. There's other reasons, but the one main reason to me is the depth, because a lot of young people played last year when they were not counted on.
Yeah.
And now you get healthy starters back, and you have backups that were starters last year. Therein lies how you become good.
Well, a guy like Breida, yeah, he was not expected to be in their plans. And then, you know, he got hurt last year. But, I mean, he gets into the secondary in a hurry. He had 121 yards, Steve, on 12 carries. So he's averaging 6.2 yards a carry in that game. And eight plays of 20-plus yards. I mean, that's just an amazing game that he had against the Bengals.
He really did. And obviously give him credit, but give the offensive line credit for, you know, getting to those second-level guys, and that when I say offensive line, that absolutely includes, you know, Kittle and Juszczyk making some really nice blocks on second level guys.
By the way, speaking of the offensive line, Joe Staley's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, broken left fibula. It's a huge loss. He's a Pro Bowl type lineman, so I guess they're going to probably, you know, look at some different people and see what they're. Yeah, you know, it's going to end up being a rookie, it looks like.
I didn't see anything from yesterday. Did they say surgery or no surgery after the MRI?
I didn't see if they said that yet. They said something about Justin. Is it School? I think it's School, who is the guy that they're going to turn to as being the starter there at left tackle.
Okay.
But you know how important that position
is.
Yeah, I don't know if he's having surgery. But, that position for a right-handed quarterback, you know, that's your blind side. So
that's he's the guy. And one, he's a left tackle. Two, he's, you know, probably still the best offensive player on the team.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of good guys, a lot of young guys showing their worth, but as a 13-year veteran playing left tackle, that's a hard one to replace.
All right, on the defensive side, we spent a lot of time there talking about offense, but defense was pretty good too. And how about another guy who was an unsung player, Ronald Blair? I mean, he came in there. He had five tackles, a sack, three quarterback hits. He was everywhere.
I thought the defensive line played really well. They seemed to mix guys in a little bit more than they did in week one. Obviously Ronnie Blair played really well. There were a couple other young guys. I'm drawing a blank on their names.
Let's see. There was Bosa. There was
Bosa played well. I thought Eric Armstead played well.
He's playing a lot better. Yeah,
maybe as well as I've seen him play since he's been here.
Big
in the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot more weapons there. Obviously, I mean, you know, but D Ford, I guess, you know, he went out with an injury too. So he wasn't in there the whole game, but I mean, they've got a lot of firepower now.
No, they played well. And the guy that was most impressive to me on the defense was, Quan Alexander. That dude he's all over the place.
I know. And we didn't get to see him the whole game in Tampa because he got thrown out of the game, but now we got to see he was fired up.
Oh, he made some hits. He chased some people down. He was all over the ball. I mean, obviously made a great interception. It was, he was impressive.
By the way, D Ford had quad irritation. I don't think that's serious. I think he's going to be all right.
Is that what they're saying? No, I thought initially they said it was a knee. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
was probably down by his top of his knee. Yeah.
That's what I saw as the latest thing that they had on D Ford that the. Well, I guess Coach Shanahan said that it had something to do with a knee that it resurfaced. So I'm not sure how serious this is going to be. And, you know, they need him. He was one of the guys they brought in to be a pass rusher. They don't want to see him get injured.
No. They need him. They need that edge rusher, and he and Bosa.
Yeah, and he's
I was just looking at
questionable for Wednesday to be in practice, so we'll see.
Yeah, I was just looking. Hadn't looked at the stats. We ended up 5 for 9. That's winnable. And actually, the Bengals ended up 9 for 18, which they were at one point like 0 for 5 or 6
on third down.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, anytime you have 527 yards. That's a pretty good day. That's what the Niners had.
Yeah, yeah.
5-2-7.
Yeah. 27 first downs.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Well, the question is, can they maintain this kind of success against the Pittsburgh Steelers? And, you know, the Steelers, obviously the big story is that Ben Roethlisberger is out for the rest of the season, which really bums me out. I love watching him play, but he's going to have elbow surgery. So he's out. You got a backup quarterback in Mason Rudolph. You've got Juju Smith-Schuster, who is limping against the Seahawks. You got James Conner, left that game with a knee injury. So this is a very banged-up Steelers team that might be lacking a lot of confidence because they're 0-2.
Yeah, I'm with you on hating to see Big Ben out. He's been doing it for a long time. He's fun to watch, fun to watch. You know, continue plays, make plays. I don't think they did anything that's not sustainable. You know, I mean, if you can continue that running game, then the play action game is going to be really good, and we're going to get some big plays off the play action. Obviously there can be a letdown. Let's hope not. Steelers, are they 0-2?
0-2. They got blown out by the Patriots, and then they lost to the
Seahawks.
Yeah.
That's right. And they lost. I think that, you know, obviously they played two pretty good teams. I think Seahawks are pretty good from what we've seen so far. I continue doing what they're doing. And obviously they played much better on Sunday than the Niners did than they did in week one. But I also think we played two teams that aren't very good.
Yeah. No, this will be more of a test without Big Ben, right? I mean, still
more
of a test.
Yeah, yeah. And Rudolph, I actually liked Rudolph at Oklahoma State. I thought he was pretty good. It'd be interesting to see how he handles it.
And the 49ers, you know, home opener, and if they go to 3-0, it'd be the first time since 1998 that they start a season 3-0. Steve Young was the quarterback. Terrell Owens was the wide receiver. That's a long time ago now.
T.O. 1998.
It's 21 years ago.
Wow. And 1998, we played them. 1998? No, it was in Carolina. They were good. Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good start.
No,
to
it wasn't.
The season,
it was in.
Yeah, you were gone by that point.
I was in St. Louis.
Yeah,
but the Niners were good. Yeah, they were good.
They went 12-4 that year. I looked it up. Steve Mariucci was the head coach. They did finish second in the division, even though they were 12-4. And that might be the case
really?
This year. Yeah, Atlanta was 14-2 that year. It might be the case this year where the NFC is going to be so tough. You got to keep winning games.
And we were at the bottom of the division, 4-12.
I'm looking right now. You were 4-12. Minnesota was 15-1 that year. So
whoa,
yeah,
and they lost to Atlanta in the championship game. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah.
There you go. That was it.
Wow.
So
that's the last time. Wow. 1998.
And Denver won the Super Bowl.
They weren't even 3-0 with under Harbaugh, huh?
No, not they have not started out 3-0 since 98, which is really hard to believe. So we'll see if they can pull it off. And you will be
there.
That'll be fun. You're going to be there. So
I will be there. That'll be fun.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. It's been fun watching it so far, and hopefully they keep it going.
I hope so. Look forward to watching it Sunday.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. We will talk again next week after the 49ers game at Levi's against the Pittsburgh Steelers. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.